I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast, where you will be inspired and empowered to connect more deeply with your authentic self as we explore topics of personal development, leadership, and spirituality. Your journey to your most authentic self starts right now. What started as a year of yes has turned into a life of yes. Today, I speak with Sam McLennigan, who in 2020 decided to say yes to life. Sam is a positive, inspirational force who shares her very personal journey today, which will challenge you to think about what brings you joy. Have you always wanted your own personal coach? Well, now you can have one. Sign up for my weekly newsletter called Coach in Your Inbox, where I give you an inspirational message along with a coaching question for the week. Plus, you'll always be up to date with who is on the podcast. And get my latest book recommendation. I value my relationships and community with others. So let's start a relationship. Go to danalloydleadership.com to sign up. Sam McLennigan, welcome to Soul Sister Conversations.
Thanks for having me.
I have been so looking forward to this conversation since I read your story on the CBC. And then when doing my research, I saw you on Global News. So you've been reported on lately. And I have a hunch it's going to be a soul-fulfilling conversation. So you say you are a woman finding her joy by saying yes to new experiences, all the while navigating life as a mom, daughter, sister, niece, aunt, and friend. So you decided to start saying yes to life in 2020. You call it your year of yes. What was going on in your life at that time that you decided to do that, let alone in a pandemic?
Well, so the decision to start the year of yes actually happened well before the pandemic. But in true Sam fashion, a pandemic hit and you kind of roll with it. That's been my life. Always, if I decide that I'm going to do something, some big thing always happens to try to either throw me off my game or to, you know, make me rethink what I was going to do. And most times it would work. And I lived my life in a way that I was constantly saying no to things. I had bariatric surgery in 2019.
And what is that for people who don't know?
Yeah, so bariatric surgery is weight loss surgery, I guess, for layman's terms. And essentially, I went in and I had a sleeve gastrectomy, which is basically it removes 3/4 of your stomach to help with basically making your portion sizes smaller, but also keeping you from absorbing a lot of that. So it comes with its own, you know, quirks and things. But so 2019, I had waited 6 years to have this surgery. That's how long the wait time was in New Brunswick at that time. So 6 years later, I have the surgery. I lost, in the first year, I lost probably about 75 pounds. And coming from 437, which was my highest recorded weight, that's pretty substantial. A lot of my anxiety about saying no and not doing things was because of my weight or because I've got a bad knee. So I was like, if someone would be like, oh, like, let's go hiking and we'll go here. And I'd be like, okay, well, if I go into the woods and my knee pops out, I'm a classic overthinker, as you'll see in a moment. I will go down. They will have to call ground search and rescue. They'll have to come in with all their gear and they'll have to haul me out of the woods. And I don't want to do that. Like, that's embarrassing. So I wouldn't do it. I would come up with the worst case scenario that could possibly happen and talk myself out of it. And it wasn't just those things. It was going to a new restaurant. And it was like, oh my God, like, what are the tables like? What are the chairs like? Am I going to embarrass myself? Am I going to draw attention to myself? And so I would always make the plans. And then last minute, I would bow out and I would say, oh, you know, I'm not feeling good. I have a headache. I have this. And I would bow out and not do it. So I wasn't living my life. I was living a life, but it wasn't my life. And I was a single mom. So I was doing the typical running to hockey, running, you know, to school. I was president of the home and school. So I was still getting out there and I was still doing things. But things for myself kind of went on the back burner. So after I had surgery and lost some weight, I said, okay, I've got to start doing things for me. My kid was graduating high school. He was off to university. It was like my time to shine. So I was like, okay, we're going to start saying yes to things. We're going to do things. And, You're right. Pandemic hit, and it's like, okay, we're on lockdown. We can't leave our house. We can't do all of these things. And but what's funny is at that time, I never thought, oh, well, I'm not going to do it. I still did it. It was definitely different. There was a lot more like Zoom chats with my friends and like trying to like figure out. That summer was actually the summer that I said, I want to go camping in a tent. And everyone was like, who are you? What have you done with Sam? Like, she would never say these things. And I was like, no, like, I want to do it. And I have now slept in a tent every year since. So yeah, it's just been kind of pushing myself out of my comfort zone. The first year was say yes to everything. Yes. And
And what did saying yes look like at that point, especially in a pandemic?
I mean, it was a lot more I mean, I had my core people that I hung out with and I did things with. It was a lot more going hiking. It was a lot more traveling within our province as opposed to people plan these big trips abroad and things like that. Well, that was, I mean, it was never really on my radar. It's not to say that I wouldn't like to go down south sometime, but it was more local. And I've realized like I'm originally from Ontario. That's where I was born. We moved here when I was young. So I consider myself like from New Brunswick, but every time we would have a family vacation, we went back to Ontario. So I never really got to experience New Brunswick. So then it got into hiking Cushabaquack Park. We did a couple of things there, eating fried clams, which people are like, you've never had fried clams before? And I was like, no. And honestly, I'll probably never eat them again. They're not my thing. But at least I know that now, because before it was always like, oh no, I don't like that. I don't like that. And but I'd never actually tried it. So the yes wasn't just new experiences as in doing things, it was trying new foods. It was, putting yourself in situations that you might not normally. I gave my number out to a guy who picked me up in a parking lot. I realized now that was a terrible idea. But so 2020 was the year that I said yes to everything. I would just do it. Like 2021, I realized it was going to do a life of yes. It wasn't going to be just a year of yes because it shaped and changed my life so much in, and not even in a full year because of the pandemic. It was a little wonky for a bit, but I made it a point to do that. And so 2021, I decided I'm gonna do like this is gonna be my life now. I'm just gonna say yes to things. 2020 was by far the best year of my life. And I say that without hesitation. And it's so funny because I laugh every time because it's like, okay, we had a pandemic, like the world was shut down. Like, how did you? I realize what's important to me. I realize that connection with people is important to me. I've realized that doing things that bring me joy is important to me, but I've also realized that I can say no to things. And by saying that I'm going to live this life of yes, and because people are like, oh, you're going to say yes to everything and anything. And I'm like, within reason. My thing is I have an amazing gut. So I trust my gut. So if my gut tells me, like, if I just even have that slight flutter of, I'm not sure about this, I'm like, yeah, I don't think this is for me. My massage therapist is the one who told me this actually not too long ago, and I was like, man, you're so wise for how young you are. But sometimes saying no to other people is saying yes to yourself. And I was always that yes person for everybody else, but I was never that yes person for me. And that's the kind of clarity I have now. And it's I say I've never felt the sense of peace that I have in my life. And I know that opening myself up and being able to say yes and starting to doing things for myself as opposed to doing things for everybody else is really what was the catapult that led me here. And it's not to say that I don't still do for everybody else. I'm a classic doer for everybody. My family is very important. My friends are very important to me. I do, but I also don't do to the detriment of myself, which I think we kind of get in a trap for. And especially being a single mom, my kid playing every sport under the sun, I felt like I had to do all that for everybody. I had to go to all these parties. I had to go to all these. I had to make an appearance. And I was like, is this really what I want? And I was like, no, now it's like, it's quality over quantity. And so it's like my life has changed in the fact it's opened up. 2020 was also the year that I was turning 40. And I love my birthday. I have a birthday month. And I was like, okay, well, what can I do? Like, this is a big birthday. I'm going to turn 40. Like, what am I going to do? And so I came up with this thing that I was going to do 40 days of connection, because that's what I realized was important to me. And this is what came out because of the pandemic, because of saying yes to things. So what I did was for 40 days leading up to my 40th birthday, I had at least one meaningful connection with one person a day. And it was exhausting. But I had some of the best conversations in my life. I closed down many coffee shops, went for ice cream, went for drinks. I connected with everybody from, you know, an old friend that I hadn't really talked to in a long time who told me about her surrogacy journey and what she's been up to the last couple of years. And it was funny because when we met, she had literally just given birth, like I think like 10 days prior, maybe not even that long. But it was like, it was just such an aha moment to me. And I was like, okay, like doing things for myself is okay. And finding my joy. Joy is my favorite word. But that's new. I used to just exist and I used to just go through the motions and do things. And so 2020, best year of my life. 2021 was the worst year of my life. I had a lot of.
Say more about that?
Yeah, I had a lot of trauma in 2021. My father took sick and passed away. And that was a lot to deal with. On top of all that, my parents are both deaf. I also have two deaf aunts who I take care of. I do a lot of advocating for them within like the medical community because it's hard. They're deaf. So things get lost in translation. I'm like, and I don't think twice about that. That's my family. That's what I do. So 2021 was really hard. And it opened up this stage for some antidepressants, which I am not ashamed of. I no longer take them. I didn't go through the best way of stopping them. Hindsight's 2020, but 2021 was the worst year of my life. I cried a lot. There was a lot of emotion, but at no point did I stop saying yes. And I realized that that is what helped me kind of dig out of my hole and kind of find myself again. And not that I was completely lost. I mean, grief has those things that it's hard to quantify, right? Like everyone reacts differently. Everyone does things differently. I do a lot of humor. So when my dad died, there was a lot of that to kind of negate like the feelings, but there was a lot. And then so 2022 hit, and it was just getting back in and finding my groove again, and then realizing, you know, there's a lot of things in my life that I want to do that I haven't done. So why haven't I done them? Is it, you know, I'm in my head about it, or is I just don't have the opportunity? So 2023 has now led to me just taking the bull by the horns. And, you know, I've always wanted to do the Hubcap Comedy Festival in Moncton. They do it every year.
Wow.
And I've never, well, not actually do it, like go see it. Like, though, I think.
Okay, I'm thinking you want to be a comedian in it.
I think, well, there is a stand-up program, which I haven't totally ruled out. I think I could do it. But yeah, like I'm going to go see a show. And instead of waiting to find people like to be like, hey, who wants to come with me? I bought tickets. And then I just posted on my Facebook and said, hey, I've got three extra tickets to this show. It's on this day at this time, $26, tickets yours. I sold them out in minutes. And I was like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to start doing. I'm just going to start doing things. And it's like, it's funny, the people that you reconnect with that you haven't seen in a long time, who they're inspired by me. And I think that's great. But I also want them to be inspired by themselves. And I want them to start doing things for them. And I think we all get kind of caught in that trap, especially being moms. We just always want to take care of everybody and do everything, that we forget the things that we like and we enjoy. And I kind of got caught in that trap myself. And I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna start doing things for myself. And what I've noticed is, you know, in the birthday cards I get from my kid now, like he's telling me how proud he is of me and how, you know, it's been great to watch me grow. And I was like, man, like, you know, part of me wishes I would have done it earlier for sure. But in the same aspect, it happened when it needed to happen. I'm very of the mind that I can't sit here and wonder why I didn't do things earlier or why I didn't say things earlier. I really don't live in that past. Like, I'm just like, okay, well, what do I want to do now? I bought snowshoes for this winter, which this winter's been kind of weird. But I've never had them, never snowshoed a day in my life. And I was in Costco one day and I was like, oh, snowshoes, that's something I want to do. Into the cart they went. It's finding the things that speak to me. It's finding my joy. And that's a word that I use. Like every time that I'm posting my adventures, going camping, going whale watching, going hiking, like just the things that I never used to do in my life. And I'm very, if you go, like I have a friend, like we used to go for walks and I would complain the whole time. And which isn't really me. I'm not really a complainer. So I was like, oh, like what is wrong with me? But I've realized that I don't enjoy driving to a location, getting out of my car, like to a local park, getting out, walking in a circle, getting back in my car and driving home. I don't like it. It's just not for me.
When you boil it down.
Right. It's just not for me. But if you say, hey, we're going to go to Sussex, we're going to hike the bluffs, I'm in. Like that is fun to me. I hiked hole in the
experience.
Right. It's like there's an end. Like there's kind of a reason, whereas I feel like when I drive to a park and then I walk in a circle and I get back in the car, I'm like, there's really no point. Like I literally just walked in a circle. But that's just how my brain works, right? Other people love it and that's great. And so I'm a big proponent of finding what works for you and finding your joy. Like in 2021, I remember emailing my boss one morning and being like, they're shutting down our zone. Because I work nationally. So my supervisor is actually based in Guelph. So I was like, they're shutting down our zone. I'm not going to be able to leave my zone. And I really want to hike the bluffs this fall. And I probably won't get another opportunity besides tomorrow. So can I have tomorrow off to go hiking? I'm like, who am I? Like, like, did that just come out of my mouth?
You would never do that before.
I would never advocate for yourself. No, I would be like, oh no, I'm scheduled to work. I guess I'm just going to have to wait another year. Like I just would let it go. And I was like, no, I'm going to go. And I did it and I loved it. And I've done it multiple times since. But it's like, it's finding what works for you. And sometimes things that work for me don't work for other people. And that is completely fine. We're such individual people. I joined the gym and every time I'm like, oh, I joined the gym and I actually love it. And everyone's like, and I laugh because I'm like, I know, I'm no one's more surprised than me. But it's like, there's just something about going to the gym, getting my workout and then going home and then starting my day because I do my workouts early in the morning. And it's eye opening. It's so crazy. And so it's like, yes, my whole shtick is saying yes to things. And I don't say yes to everything. I say yes to things that mean something to me. And now it's like that means something to me, but it's like it can be as small as eating fried clams. Like the video of that is hilarious because I'm like, I can't believe I ate them. But I was like, no, like I'll try them. I've tried other seafood as well because I've always been like, no, I don't eat seafood. And so I tried bacon wrapped scallops. I tried calamari. I tried shrimp. I tried a bunch of things. And I was like, you know what? It's not terrible, but it's just not for me. And that was it. Whereas before it was such a big deal. It was like, oh my God, I'm like, no, I'm not going to put that in my mouth. Like, oh, gross. And It's like, okay, let's just be a grown overthinking. Up and try it. Man, I am the classic overthinker.
Well, take me back to 2020, though, when you decided to start saying yes to things. Obviously, you had a physical shift in your body because you went through the surgery and you were losing weight. Was that related to you saying yes, or did something, what shifted inside of you that made you say, I'm going to say yes more, even in a pandemic?
I think, obviously losing any amount of weight can be life-changing. I lost 170 pounds. I then put on some weight. I've then taken off some weight. Like, it is definitely, it ebbs and flows. But when you get down to it, surgery is a tool. It's a tool to help you. It's not going to change your life without you adding to it. So it's like, okay, like I can change my eating habits. Like, that's fine. But it's like, what else? Like, what else can I do? And to me, it's finding things that I want to try and do. And it's like, I can be very dramatic. My friends will laugh if they hear this. I can be very dramatic. So we can, we'll go on, we've been on hikes. So we did Hole in the Wall in Grand Manan, and we pull up, and this lovely lady who's a lot older than me starts telling us, like, you know, where to go, how to get there, and how long it should take. It took me a lot longer than this lovely lady said it should take, but I was going at my own pace. And after we got back, my face is red, but I'm so pumped I did it. I was like, I did it. I hiked down to Hole in the Wall. I hiked back up. But my
first is this a hiking trail, Hole in the Wall?
Hole in the Wall is on Grand Manan. So you hike down, and then there's like this rock in the water, and there's a hole in it. And so we get back to the car, and of course, I go on Facebook Live because that's what I do with my life. And I'm like, I didn't die. And everyone laughs at me because that's always my first reaction when I do something. I'm like, I didn't die like I thought I would, because that's just how my brain works. My brain will go to the worst.
Your overthinking
case.
Brain.
My worst case scenario. Like, it's so funny the things that this brain can come up with. And but it's doing the sense of like accomplishment. And what's hilarious is I'm probably one of my biggest critics. I'm not so bad anymore, but at the time, like, I was like, no, I can't do that. Like, I just physically can't do that. Like, my knee won't allow me to do that. Like, I would just come up with everything. I've got amazing friends who know exactly what I can do. So if I just need that little push, it's like, okay, they're like, Sam, you can do this. But they're also very aware of the things that I can't do. And it's like, you're not going to see me scaling a rock wall. You're not going to, like, there's certain things, there's physical limitations that I cannot do. But it's not to say that I can't do it in the future. Like, but at that time, it was just not something that I could possibly do. Obviously, I kept losing weight, which makes things a lot easier. I was linked up with a fantastic physiotherapist, which is another thing, is, as you know, a single mom, like, because I had injuries, or because I would never take care of myself. Like, if it's like, oh, you know, my back hurts, I should get a massage, or that was never in my head ever. But if my kid got hurt at hockey, or if he had to go see the physiotherapist, that was the first thing that I would do. But I would never do that for myself. So now it's like, I go to massage regularly. I go to Cairo. I got linked up with the best physiotherapist who sat and talked to me about my knee, because I've had knee issues for a really long time. And she's like, yeah, she's like, you've got a floating kneecap, and this is what you need to do to help, like, strengthen it. And my thing was, I would always not do things because I didn't want something to happen to my knee. And she's like, that's the worst thing you can do. She's like, you need to strengthen it. So by you babying it, it's gotten weaker. So when you do things and it hurts, like, no wonder it hurts, because you're not pushing it. So I was like, okay. So she taught me how to tape it. She got me doing squats, which I hate, but I did them. And, you know, I changed the way I walked. It was all, even up to that, like, I was overcompensating so much for my knee, that to the detriment of everything else, that I was actually making it worse. So it was finally taking that time to do all of those things and take care of myself that it's like now it's like I go hiking and that's not even in my forefront of my brain, like thinking, oh, my knee's going to pop out of place. I'm going to hit the ground. Ground search and rescue is going to come. Like, you know, they're going to fly in a helicopter. Like, I could tell you all of the things that my brain would think. And and now I just do it. I'm very, like I said, I trust my gut. So if I get myself into a situation where I'm like, I really don't think I can do that. I'm going to, you know, switch it up. One example being last summer, one of my really good friends who gets me into some of these adventures, she sent me a text and she said, look at this picture and tell me what you think, like how you feel. And I go, okay. So she sends me a couple picture of, it's a couple of ladders and platforms in the middle of the woods. And I'm like, well, it doesn't give me the warm and fuzzies. And she's like, okay. She's like, this is one of the waterfalls I was thinking that we could go to. And I was like, okay. I'm scared of heights. So I was like, you want me to climb these ladders? And then it wasn't so much climbing the ladders. It was coming back down. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. And so I kind of got in my head about it. But then she picked me up and we were off to the races. We're going to find a waterfall. And on the road, I finally just said, you know what? Like, I really don't feel good about it. Like, there's just something. And she goes, fine, we won't go to that one. I have another one we'll go to. So we went to another one, very steep incline, but not requiring ladders. There was rope. And I crack jokes. It's how I deal with anything. And so we're going down the side of this little mountain and I'm like, okay, like this is fine. Everything's good. And we get to the bottom and it's literally one step left. There's no more rope to hold on to. It's just literally one step and you're at the base of this waterfall in the pool of water. Like you're there. Well, I take that last step. I slip in mud and I land on my butt. And I can't do anything but laugh. Like, I'm not hurt. I'm not anything. But I'm like, this is true Sam fashion. Like, I did it. I fell. Like, anyway, my friend is like mortified. She's like trying to haul me up. She's like literally less than half the size of me. She's ripping my arm out of its socket. And I'm like, okay, everyone just take a breath. Like, everything's fine. Like, so I get myself up. I clean the mud off my butt. Like, we're all good. And I just am laughing because I'm like, things can go wrong and it's okay. And I had myself so
great
worked
lesson.
Up. Yeah. I had myself so worked up that like, oh my God, like what if I fall? So what? You're going to fall. That's what life is. Like that is what life is in general. Everything doesn't work out for you. You get up, you clean the dirt off and you keep on going. So that's what I did. I got up and then went swimming in this gorgeous waterfall. They had the cutest little, it's kind of funny. We didn't know what they were called and they looked like dragonflies, but butterflies. So we were calling them butt dragons. But anyway, like they're all around us. It's like the most magical moment ever. And I was like, I would have missed this. I would have not got to experience this with a couple of my great friends because I was scared because something could go wrong. Well, things go wrong. Like,
yeah,
you know, right. So it's like, what are you? And that's what I did for many years. I kept myself out of doing things because what if this goes wrong? And I realized I didn't want to live my life that way anymore. So I switched it up. And, you know, year of yes, people have, you know, mentioned like, oh, did you read the book? Did you do this? Like,
yes.
No,
yes.
Like I didn't do any of those things. They have definitely.
You wrote your own book.
Yeah. I was like,
basically.
Right. And it's like, it's finding. And it all comes back to finding your joy. You know, I live 20 minutes from the beach. Do you know how many times I go to the beach a year? Like previously? Never. I never went to the beach. And, but I love it. We go to the beach now and I'm like, why have I not done this for years? I went tubing down the Miramichi River, which is something else that I wanted to do for years. But then I was like, I'm too big. What if this happens? Like, what if my knee pops out and I'm in the river? Like I said, like helicopters would be coming to get me. Like, this is how my brain would work. And
I think a lot of people's brains work like that.
Right?
We overthink. You are great. You are a great inspiration and a great reminder of these lessons of stop overthinking things.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's not to say not to be safe and not to, you know, to sure. weigh your pros and cons. And, you know, There are definitely instances where you should definitely take pause. I'm not saying like jump in both feet, like yes, yes, yes to everything, but it's like just try different things. I've had people reach out that I don't know from across the country because of doing CBC and global. Global was a surprise because it was a local, one of my friends kind of recommended me to the local global news reporter. And so she came and I rode a bike for the first time in like 30 years. I fell twice. I'm very graceful. But it was so fun. Like we had a great time. And then I didn't realize, I thought it was just like a local news piece. Well, no, it was national. So I woke up the next morning to like so many messages, so many friend requests, like all of that. And I was like, what is going on? Like, where are all these people coming from? And it's like, people see pieces of them in me. And I think that's great.
I was gonna say, why do you think all that people are reaching out to you when they see your story?
You know, it's funny. I really haven't had any hate. I've had people say, well, of course you're going to lose weight if you change your lifestyle. And okay, like, you're right. Like, absolutely. But that's not what this is about. But it's different personalities and different viewpoints. And that's fine. I can appreciate that. Not everyone thinks like me. And that's kind of what makes the world so great, is there's different personalities. There's different types of people. There's definitely hate in this world for all kinds of things. And honestly, if you're going to hate on me because I'm living a life that I enjoy and that I love, I feel sorry for you. But, I just wish that they find their joy and find things that speak to them. And yeah, Life of Yes isn't about, it isn't for everybody. But I've definitely inspired people to kind of try different things and to do new
things.
And people have reached out and people I've never met. And I think that's fantastic. And it's so, like, I encourage that. When I did CBC and I did the podcast with them, it was, you know, Trevor was like, oh, like, what do you think I should do? And I was like, that's so hard to say because I don't know you. I don't know what you do. So, you know, I can't tell you to do something because I was like, oh, when was the last time you rode a bike? He's like, oh, 6 months ago. And I was like, see, like, that was 6 months ago to you. But for me, it was 30 years. So I borrowed a bike from a friend. I fell getting off it once because I got short legs. It's just, it's in the cards. And then the second time it was funny because we set up the camera in a basket, like pointing at me while I was riding the bike and I fell off the bike. So that was some great content. But
I think you're encouraging us to say yes to the little things, because all of the things you've done, like you said, I've heard you say that I'm not going to jump out of a plane, but you said yes to swimming, hiking, biking, boating, camping, and even a tattoo.
Yeah. You know,
and I think people can see themselves in your story because we are can be overthinkers. We can let things get in our way. What has surprised you most about this journey?
Oh gosh, I think I've surprised myself the most. And I'm going to start crying. I realized that I can do so much more than I ever gave myself credit for. And I did a lot. Like I said, I was president of the home and school for like 6 years. I put on the most ridiculous birthday parties for my kid growing up because I'm extra like that. So it's not that I wasn't doing anything, but I wasn't doing it for me. I was always doing it for other people. So yeah. I think it's like,
and I think people can relate to that, Sam.
Absolutely.
Because I'm writing down things that you're talking about and I'm thinking, yes, my gosh, you did everything for everybody. You're taking care of parents and deaf aunts and parties and doing, and they're all fabulous things, but somewhere in there, it feels like you got lost.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what this is about. This is about finding myself again and finding, like I say it so much, I'm like a broken record, finding my joy, what brings me happiness. And it's funny because now it's like every year I plan camping trips with my friends. And, you know, we did Cape Breton one summer, we did Digby last year. This year we're talking about going to the Magdalen Islands. Like, this pushing the envelope a little bit. And like I said, you know, at the beginning of this, it was like, I really couldn't leave my bubble because of COVID. It was like, okay, well, We did St. Andrews. We did Minister's Island. We did Grand Manan. Like, we did all of those things. And those are things that I never would have done. Never. Never would have done. And they're not big things. It's like literally a couple hour drive and setting up a tent. And, you know, everyone's like, you're sleeping in a tent. I even got friends who are like, I don't sleep. I don't camp. Like, my version of camping is staying in a motel. Like, and I was like, oh yeah, guess what? We're going camping this summer. And they're like, they just look at me and I'm like, yeah, we're going. Like, I'm just telling you, we're going. And they're opening up to the idea.
You're pushing other people now.
I am. And I think, you know, people have pushed me, and it's pushing with love, right? So it's not like pushing and being like, oh, you know, you need to do more with your life and you need to, like, that would never be my take. Because I know people's lives are so different and they do so many other things that bring them joy that don't bring me joy. Like, I have friends who are very creative and they do a lot of, you know, canvassing or like painting or all that is not for me. Like, that literally stresses me out more than anything. But I love that they love it. That's what brings them joy. I have a friend who has seen hundreds of waterfalls in the last couple of years. And she said to me, she's like, you are the reason I started this, to find my joy, and waterfalls bring me joy. And I'm like, it just makes me so, like, I just get so emotional because I'm like, that is exactly what I want. I want people to find what brings them joy. And, you know, all the crazy things that I get into, they bring me joy. And it's like figuring out, and it's like, it's not even all the crazy things. It's going to a movie. I've been to two movies in 2023 already at the movie theater. And I couldn't even tell you how many movies I went to the movies before that. Because it was always like, oh, like the seats are, you know, they're tight, like I'm bottom heavy, so I don't want to encroach on other people. Or like, you constantly get yourself in your head about it. And that's what I did. And now it's like, I've been to two movies this year. It's literally the 1st of February and I've already been to two movies and I'm scheduled to go to two more this
Sam,
month.
Go.
And it's like, people are like, some people might be like, oh, well, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal to me because for a good part of my life, I didn't go to movies because I was uncomfortable. And so now that, you know, I will never be 150 pounds. And it's funny because I've had people be like, never say never. And I'm like, no, like genetically, like I will never be that. And I'm okay with that. That's not what this whole journey has been about. I was very lucky in the fact that, yeah, I was 437 pounds. I was on no medication. And everyone is floored. They're like, you weren't on blood pressure medication. You weren't diabetic. You weren't this. I'm like, no, I was completely healthy. I just was very overweight. I think there's a lot of misconception when it comes to weight. People are like, oh my God, they must eat all the time. They must. Literally, I gained all my weight because I didn't eat. I remember my one aha moment. It was 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, why do I feel so miserable? Like, I just feel terrible. And then I sat there and I was like, I haven't eaten or drank anything all day. So it's like having that relationship with food, it was incredibly tough. And then you've got people who are like, oh my God, look at her. Like, she's so fat. Like, you know, all she must do is eat. And it's like, I actually don't eat at all. So that's hard.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, and I get where people, you know, they hide themselves and they, you know, and I've never really been a hider in such a way. I've always kind of been front center doing things. I use humor as a crutch, you know, in every instance.
A defense mechanism?
Absolutely, without question.
Yeah.
And but I always said I had the personality to be fat because no one would ever really say things to my face because I would call them back out on it. Other people might not be like that. It actually might give them more shame. And then they end up hiding and hiding from the world and, you know, not doing things that bring them joy. And I was like, that's just not who I am. And even if I, you know, even if I lost half my body weight, like that would never be who I am. Like I'm definitely not of the mind that, you know, I've called people out before when they bring up like fat things. And I'm just like, was that really necessary to the story? Like, and they're like, well, I used to be fat. And I'm like, well, then you should know better. Like, that's all I say. I'm like, you should know better. Like, why would you lead with that? So I think for me, it's like getting away from that stigma. This surgery is huge. I mean, so many people have had it. A lot of people choose to not even admit they've had it because of the judgmental people, because of all of that. To me, I'm an open book. I've always been like, oh yeah, like I had to do 4 weeks of just eating shakes four times a day before I had surgery. And people are like, even my mom, she couldn't understand it. She was like, don't you need to chew something? And I was like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm just going to drink my shake. Like, we're all fine. Like, everything's good. And I did that for 4 weeks. And it's different depending on like your program and who your doctor is. And, but it's like, that's what my doctor decided was right for me. And I trust him. So that's what I did. There's just so much to it, like the bariatric surgery side of things, weight loss surgery. People say it's the easy way out. Let me tell you, there's nothing easy about it. You really need to schedule your eating, your drinking of water, whether or not you exercise, whether or not you, and for the first couple of years after surgery, I'm going to be 4 years post-op this month. And I didn't exercise probably for like the first 2 years. And by exercise, like, I mean, you know, some kind of regimen. Now I'm going to the gym. I do that typically 5 days a week. And I love it. I focus more on cardio. I do what works for me.
You're listening to your body.
Yeah.
You're listening to your gut, that strong gut you talk
about. Yeah. And the thing is I squashed that gut down for a really long time and I ignored it. And I realized she wants nothing but the best for me because she is me. And so I have to do the things that bring me joy, that feel good. And I don't have to do the things that don't make me feel good. And I was that person. I was that people pleaser. I was running. I remember one day running from taking my kid to a birthday party on the other side of town, coming back across town to go to another birthday party for like a friend of mine's mom, then going back to pick up my kid from his party, going to a anniversary party all before 5 p.m. in a day. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, let's pick and choose and, you know, what's important. Like, you don't have to do everything. And if people get upset with you, they get upset with you. And, you know, have I lost friends in this whole journey? Sure. Have we maybe not connected as much? Sure. But, like, we've connected. There's a few that I've connected with that they've kind of come back and they've apologized for their part in it. And my thing always is, as friendships, you're in different parts of your life. Like, I had friends who had really young kids while my kid was a little bit older. My kid was in every sport known to man, so they couldn't understand that I was busy, that I was full tilt, like running to rinks, running to basketball gyms, like running to the soccer field, to football, like all over the province, all over. Well, I'd take my kid all the way down to Boston for hockey. Like, that's what my life was. And it wasn't that I didn't enjoy their friendship. It was, this is what my focus was on at that time. I think with age and maturity comes clarity. I think, you know, as we get older, we realize the things that are important. And it's not as emotional as when you're younger. When you're emotional, like when you're younger, I feel like a lot of us take things personally that we don't need to. And so the clarity that I have, I always say, I'm like, I'm 42 years old. Like, the sense of clarity I have right now, like, you know, it's amazing. And I wish it for everybody. I know everybody doesn't have it, which also makes me sad. But, you know, I hope they get there. And for me, my life of yes has gotten me there. It has made me figure out, life of yes is literally what got me through my dad's passing. And it's not that I was saying yes to everything at the time, But it was like, it was the knowledge that I could do things. I can do hard things. And I say hard things, and it's like, it could be putting a fried clam in your mouth. It could be hiking hole in the wall in Grand Manan. It could be, my goal for this summer is to get in a kayak. I've never been in a kayak, and that's my goal for this summer. Like, and people are like, there's people who, that's what they do all the time. They love to kayak, and they think, oh my God, you've never kayaked before? It's like, no, because I would have myself completely in a tizzy, be like, oh, what happens if I flip it upside down and I can't get out? And the overthinking brain, it kicks in. And, but it's like,
and hard is what's hard for you, right? And I think that's why people are always surprised. Oh my gosh, you wouldn't do that. But it depends on us personally, what's hard for us.
Absolutely.
To do. What our insecurities, vulnerabilities, and blocks.
Absolutely.
Are.
So like, to me, it's like, find those things that bring you joy. Like, you know, whether it be, you know, running. I always say I will never run. If I'm running, like something's chasing me, but even then it probably will never happen. But I catch myself at the gym and the right song comes on and I think I could run to this. And I'm like, so is that in my future? Maybe. But it's like, you know, I'm open to it. And that's the thing. I think everyone just needs to be open to things.
And great message.
Yeah. And I wasn't for a really long time. And being open to things has kind of led me to where I am today and, you know, doing all those things. But it's like also it's helped me personally work on boundaries, which I was terrible at. I'm a huge proponent for therapy. I'm a huge proponent for taking care of yourself. So massage, chiro, physio, like, you know, getting yourself right is your number one priority. And I think a lot of us get lost in that trap where we're like, everybody else is our priority. Like my son was my priority. I did everything for him. And so now to turn around and be like, okay, but it's, you know, it's so silly because you always come back to the whole, if you're on an airplane and the masks come down, you always mask yourself first because you can't help anybody if you're not okay. And it's like, we lose that. And it's like, we exist. Like I existed for a really long time because I put everybody first. And now that I'm putting myself first, everybody is noticing the difference. And I'm then therefore able to be there for other people in ways that I never was before. And it's brought me so much life. And it's funny because it all comes back to this one word, yes. And which is, I've always not been a fan of, you know, not so much not a fan of, but always said I'd never get a tattoo. I'd never get my ears pierced. Well, when I was 30 years old, I got my ears pierced and it was a big thing. And obviously I survived. But it was like, I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. And a friend of mine, I was supposed to get a tattoo in Miramichi, but we ended up going into zone lockdown. So then it was like, okay, zone lockdown. I have to cancel my appointment, got to reschedule. I'm like, oh, so it kind of just went on the back burner for a while. And then a friend of mine was going to get a tattoo last summer. And she's like, oh, I'm going to get a tattoo. I'm like, oh, you should talk to your tattoo artist and see if they'll put yes on my body. And she's like, okay. So then she literally texted me like 10 minutes later and was like, she can do you after me today. She's like, here's the address. And I was like, well, I can't say no. Like, I literally want her to tattoo yes on my body. I can't say no. So then I like roll up to this house and I'm parked in front and, you know, the overthinking brain goes and I'm like, no, you're going to do this. I'm pretty sure I'm part of the one and done club. I don't think I'll ever get another tattoo. I say that, but my niece is actually looking. She's 17. Lovely, lovely girl. And she wants to be a tattoo artist. And she's a phenomenal artist. So will I get another tattoo? Probably, because I will let her do it. But it's definitely not one of those like everyone's like, oh, my God, once you get a tattoo, you're going to want another and another. Yeah, I'm not that person. I also one night was drinking wine with one of my really good girlfriends. And she's like, we should go get pierced. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, you could do your nose. She's like, and I'll do another hole in my ear. And I was like, okay, like that's weird. But I'm like, all right, let's do it. Because of course, wine will fortify anything. And then we stopped talking about it. We never talked about it when we got sober. So it was like, okay, but then I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I made an appointment, and in November I went and got my nose pierced. And it's so funny to me because it's really not anything that had ever been on my radar, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was like, yeah, I really want that. And people who see me now, they're like, you didn't always have that. I was like, I know, right? It just fits. So yeah, I'm finding all kinds of things that I am loving to do, or, you know, I want to try, or I'll try once. And then I go, yeah, you know what? Like, it's really not for me. And that's okay too. It's not like you're getting married to it. You're not like doing it forever after. It's like, you know, just try the little things. And I've had, this lovely lady, she reached out to me and she said, because of you, I joined a 30-day yoga thing. And she's like, and I just wanted to tell you that I just finished my 30 days and I love it and I'm going to continue doing it. And I was like, that's it. Like, that's what I want people to do. And that's what I really advocate of people. You know, try something. You don't have to love it. You don't have to do it all the time. I started dance lessons. I did Latin line dancing for absolute beginners. And I enjoy it. It's great. But I was like, I really don't want to go every week. And it was before Christmas. And I was like, you know, I'm getting into the Christmas season. I've got to get all this stuff done. Like, you know, it's fun and I enjoyed it, but I just can't commit to doing it every week. So I backed out of it. And that's okay too. Like, you know, it's not saying that you have to do it forever. It's not saying that you have to love whatever you try. It's just try. And that's really what my life's about now and has brought me so far. Yeah. And
yeah,
I can't help but want that for everybody. So I'm very like, hey, you know, what is it that like sets your soul on fire? And that's always what I want to know about people. Like, what is their passion? What makes them so happy? And I think that's why I love connecting with people and I love doing that. And, you know, just putting little inklings in the back of their mind for them to be like, hey, if Sam can do it, like I can do it. I'm like, yeah, like everybody is capable.
You've given us a lot of inklings today.
That's so great.
You've dropped a lot of inklings today in the conversation.
I love it.
And I've had goosebumps a few different times during this conversation, things that you were talking about and the fact that you talk about inspiration, you are inspiration and joy. And I feel like you're a positive catalyst, a very encouraging voice to get people to question their life and how can they say yes to the things they want to say yes to in their life. How do they get engaged in their life? So you've certainly gave us a lot to think about today. Absolutely. A lot of questions to answer for ourselves. So I really appreciate that. Is there anything that you wanted to say that I haven't asked you about?
Oh my goodness. No, I'm a talker, as you can tell. I don't think so. Like, it's funny because it's like the key points that I keep coming back to. It's, you know, what brings you joy? Just sit with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to focus on yourself. And I think that's just what I want people to take away from this is, you know, just sit with yourself. What is important to you? And it's not to say that if you do that, everything else goes to the wayside. It's, you know, take that moment. You know, to me, I always thought I had to do everything for everybody else and that my wants and desires, it's not that they weren't important, they just didn't factor in. So I never even thought of them. And, you know, maybe it would have taken one person to say to me, what do you want? What would make you happy? What would bring you joy? What would, like, you know, and it could be anything. I'm actually contemplating going roller skating this summer, which I'm not sure I really want to engage the healthcare system like that at this point, but I was like, I'm willing to give it a shot. But it's like, it's, you know, being comfortable enough with yourself. I think that also is what this has given me, is that I can sit with myself and be content. And I think that's hard for a lot of people. It was hard for me for a really long time. So to get away from that, I would do for everybody else. I would keep myself so busy that I didn't have to think about it I didn't have to focus on myself. So now I realize it's quality. It's not quantity. It's not being busy and being so full out all the time. What is going to make you happy? And, you know, if it's before, I used to be the type of person who I needed that outside validation. I needed, you know, to put myself in 5 million situations to make everybody happy because that would make me happy. I was so busy. But I was actually kind of miserable. And, you know, now it's like I can sit at home by myself and be so content and so at peace. And at first I was like, okay, am I depressed or am I content? It was a question I really asked myself. Are you happy? Like, or are you sad and you just don't know you're sad? And I was like, no, I'm content. I have no problems just sitting there and watching TV and binging the worst television. And I'm good with it. And whereas before I would have had to be go, go, go all the time just to feel like I was important and that people liked me. And I was like, they can like me or they can not like me. Like, that's their choice. And that clarity has brought me so far. And really, it all started with saying yes in 2020, the year a pandemic hit. Which is so
a year of yes.
A year of yes.
And turned into a life of yes.
A life of yes. Yeah. And like I said, it's not saying yes to everything, but it's say yes to things. It's don't completely, you know, block yourself out from opportunities. You know, give it a shot. And that's kind of where I've been at. And I'm like, you know, like, it doesn't have to be hiking. It doesn't have to be biking. It doesn't have to be any of those things. It could be anything. And but it's like it's finding that and following that and just being true to yourself and loving yourself. I mean, you know, how many of us, you know, can honestly say we love ourselves? And, you know, I can now, and before I couldn't. So there's so much more that comes from just saying yes. It's, you know, the self-confidence, it's the clarity, it's the self-love, it's there's so much to it. It's so much more than that. And I'm gonna start crying. But that's just, it's given me my life back.
I'll say it makes for a wonderful life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am living my best life. And, you know, 2023 just keeps getting better. And, you know, but I also know that I'm strong enough that if something were to be thrown in to wrench those plans, I can handle that too. So yeah.
You have your yeses to fall back on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sam, for this amazing conversation. There are so many amazing messages and reminders and questions littered in this conversation. I just know it's going to impact people. So thank you for your time. I really, really appreciate it.
Of course. And thanks for reaching out. I'm so, you know, appreciative. And, you know, I always say, like, people ask me to do things and I'm like, I can't say no. Like, I got to say yes. But yeah.
Well, thank you for saying yes to this conversation.
Absolutely.
That was such a great conversation. If you loved it too, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Please go to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. And if you want to continue the conversation, connect with Soul Sister Conversations on the Facebook and Instagram pages. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Dana Lloyd Leadership, on Twitter at Coach Dana_Lloyd, and of course on LinkedIn. See you next week.